Well, then turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, that's a little hard to convince this world about that today. Loving favor is better than silver and gold. Well, most people wouldn't turn down a little silver or a little gold. And my memory from the banking days is that most people are very busy spending time chasing a buck and not so much time cultivating favor with God. So today what we want to do is we want to talk about this favor, this loving favor, but as it pertains to the Lord, finding favor with God. Before we do, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will study this together. John Sullivan, why don't you pray for us? Amen. Amen. So Solomon had wealth, and Solomon had a good name. And he said, loving favor is better than the gold and the silver. You know, and if you look through the Bible and you pick out notable characters who have gained favor with God, who are mentioned in the Bible that they gained favor with God, you're going to find that these are some of the most outstanding people in the book. Jesus Christ. The Bible says when he was young, after that episode there at the temple, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Very important. Mary, when the angel came to announce to her that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God, the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." That surprised her. David, we read in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen is giving the message before his death. The Bible says, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. David found favor with God. Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 is approached by the Lord and two angels. They're traveling as they're going to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham sees them and stops them and says, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." He invited them to eat with him, and they did. Daniel, it's implied that he had favor with God because the Bible says God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And that's how he was able to then persuade them to let him eat pulse instead of the king's meat. Samuel, when he was a child, had been loaned by his mother, Hannah, to the Lord. The Bible says the child Samuel grew on and was in favor, both with the Lord and also with men. Those are outstanding characters in the Bible. There are other outstanding characters of the Bible, and undoubtedly they had favor with the Lord as well. But the Lord makes plain in Jesus' case, in Mary's case, in David's case, in Daniel's case, Abraham's case, in Samuel's case, they had favor with me. And that's an outstanding thing. So if we can discover from the Bible what the Bible says about favor with God, and do what the Bible says about gaining favor with God, then perhaps we can find favor with God as well and be in the company of those who were in His favor. So how does a person obtain favor with the Lord? Turn to Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. First way to gain favor with God is by righteousness. By righteousness. Psalm 5, verse 12. The Bible says, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Well, our righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, do you think that all people who are saved are in favor with God? I don't think so. I think there, particularly today, there are a lot of people who have professed Jesus Christ. Many of those who profess Jesus Christ probably have gotten saved, were born again by the Spirit of God, accepted what Jesus Christ had done for them. He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't make it hard. He makes it available to anybody, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know, Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. So we have righteousness given to us by Jesus Christ that we get at the new birth. But you know something? When you look in Romans chapter 6, we need to yield to that righteousness and not let sin reign in our mortal bodies. And that's more than just the gift of salvation. That's then taking our place on the cross with Christ, letting this old man die so that we can yield to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and then watch as that righteousness bears the fruit of righteousness in our lives, which is pleasing to God, which is what God wants, which brings glory to God, and then you'll have favor with God. Why? Because Psalm 11:7 says, "The righteous Lord loveth righteousness." Don't you know that God is so pleased when you take this wayward person, he's a sinner, he's into a lot of bad things, he trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, he starts going to church, he starts reading his Bible, he starts growing, he starts yielding to the righteousness of God, and 5 years later you can't even tell he was that man that got saved. He gives you a testimony and he says, "Well, before I got saved I was this," and you look at him and scratch your head and say, "You? Well, you don't even look like that man." God likes that. That's where you get some favor with God. A person obtains favor with the Lord by righteousness. Listen, don't ever let that stop. If the righteousness of God in your life has produced something in you that looks a whole lot better than you were before you got saved, let that keep bearing fruit. God likes that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and notice something. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. How do you obtain favor with the Lord? Certainly it's desirable as we see. Well, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Mercy and truth are a couplet, and you'll find them appearing together throughout the Bible. David talks about it. Abraham talks about it. They talk about God not forsaking his mercy and truth, or allowing his mercy and truth to be fulfilled in their lives. Truly, you and I are beneficiaries of the mercy and truth of God. We're saved according to his mercy. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, and we're sanctified by his truth." When Jesus Christ prayed to his Father, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Mercy and truth. So we get saved according to his mercy, and then we're sanctified by his truth. But you know something? God didn't want us to keep that all to ourselves. God says, you know what? Where I really have favor is when you take what I've given you and you use that or give that to somebody else. So to have favor with God, we first need to be saved and sanctified, but then we need to extend mercy to others. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "Get rid of that old man, put on the new man." And when he's talking about the new man, he says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Put away bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking," all that bad stuff, malice. And he says, "Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That he likes. Because you take the mercy you've received and you pass it on to somebody else. In Matthew chapter 18, the Lord gives a parable about a guy that owed, 10,000 talents, and another one that owed 100 pence. And the guy that owed 10,000 talents, well, it's a ludicrous amount. He would have never been that deeply in debt, but the Lord just wants to show you, and by our comparison with him, what we've done against him is way greater than anything anybody's ever done against us. And the Lord of that servant forgave that servant those 10,000 talents. And then somebody owed, another servant owed that guy 100 pence, took him by the neck and said, pay me all. He said, I can't, you know, have mercy on me. Just like this guy had asked the Lord. And he said, throw him in prison until he pays the last bit. Boy, when the Lord found out about that, he jerked it and said, you're going where he's gone. The Lord, people have said to me about, man, I'm having a hard time getting over this. I'm having a hard time forgiving this person. And the truth of the matter is, and it's a profound statement, nobody has ever done anything to us that's worse than what we've done to the Lord. He forgave us of that. And so when we pass that along, that mercy along to somebody else, well, you know, the Bible says this, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. Mercy is a good thing for the person who extends the mercy. He gets mercy. And then we need to walk in the truth and be truthful. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Don't be a false witness. Don't be an exaggerator. Don't be a liar. Don't withhold the truth. Be true with God. Be true with yourselves. Be true with your family. Be true with your friends. Be true with your acquaintances. Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, said in 1 Timothy 2:7, it's a parenthetical, but he says, I speak the truth and a lie not. I was reading a book. It's kind of interesting. I don't recommend it to you, but it's been interesting because there's some bits and pieces in it that are interesting. It says 400 things that cops know. And then it's like 27 things that cops know about when you violate traffic laws. 14 things that cops know about thugs. And you know, 13 things that cops know about drug dealers. It's interesting. I'm having a good time reading it. But here's what he said. In that profession of being a law enforcement officer, he said, you have to have a reputation for telling the truth. And he said, and I'll tell you, not all do, but you need that reputation because of this. When you file a report, if not everything in there is true, and then you're called to the witness stand, finds out that you've told a lie, the DA knows it. The judge knows it. Your fellow law enforcement officers know it. The defense attorney knows it. And your days as a witness are done because they don't trust you anymore. We ought to be at least as truthful as that. Mercy, God should count on us to forgive the way we've been forgiven. And truth, we've been sanctified by the truth. We should speak the truth. And he said, when you do those two things, you gain favor with me. You want to find favor with God? Those two things right there. That's a great thing. But he gives you something else. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Those of you who read the proverb of the day, today was Proverbs chapter 8. It was this proverb that stirred my thinking about preaching on having favor with God. Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom is personified. She speaks from the beginning to the end of the chapter, telling you all kind of great things about wisdom. And in verse 35, right at the end of the chapter, she says, for whoso findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. You want to have favor with God? Find wisdom. Find wisdom. Wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. We know that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it is impossible to obtain wisdom apart from the words of God. When wisdom is speaking here, it's not like something you go look for out there somewhere. We all have it written in the covers of our book right now. But notice what he said in verse 35. Whoso findeth me, findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So you've got to find wisdom. Look at Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You got to seek wisdom. You know, wisdom is there, and when it starts out in this chapter, wisdom's in the high places, wisdom's in the paths, wisdom's in the gates, wisdom's in the doors. It's there, but you got to look for it. You got to seek it. Have you ever noticed, remember something that happened to us one time. We've pulled it a couple of times. It's an interesting little experiment. We were invited when we were in Beeville to the Commodore's house. He was the commander of the Naval Air Station there. He and his wife, and I think there were three other couples. So eight of us in the dining room had a great homemade pasta meal. And after the meal, his wife said, here's a sheet of paper, and I think it had 10 or 12 things listed on the sheet of paper. Each one of us got one. You've been sitting in our dining room, and hidden in plain view are the items that are on that list. And you need to find them, and then when you found them all, the first one to find them all wins. And you look around, and all of a sudden you notice that this picture, prominent picture in the room, has a Bic pen laying on the frame. Been looking at it all night, didn't even see it. And there's a nail in the wall, has got a paper clip hanging on it. Been looking at it all night, never even saw it. And that kind of stuff, but hidden in plain view. Do you realize wisdom's the same way? It's there, but unless you're looking for it, unless you want to find it, unless you're seeking it, you go right by it. And go on in your simplicity. He said, but if you'll stop, if you love me and you're looking for me, you'll find me. And God said, when you do, that's when you have favor with me. Whoso findeth me findeth life, shall obtain favor of the Lord. You know what? Lazy people, they don't find wisdom. You know why? They're not willing to work for it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does it say? Study to show thyself, look at it, approved unto God. God's favor is extended to those who will take the time to dig in here and get some wisdom. Get some wisdom. Now, many of you here on Wednesday night have spent a good deal of time in this Bible. And you know something? You're wiser today than you were before you started digging in this Bible. And you know something? You have found some favor with God as a result, and that's a good thing. Wisdom, while we're on the subject, also comes from good counsel. You'll sometimes dig around in there and you say, man, I just can't find my way through this thing. Well, then go spend time in the Bible and spend time with godly counselors who know something about the situation you're facing, so they can give you good counsel. When you walk in that good counsel and the wisdom of God, God looks down from heaven and says, thumbs up, that's a good job. Yeah, you got favor there. That's a good move, good move. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13 and notice something else. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 15. You want some favor with God? It comes from good understanding. Proverbs 13, verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The latter part of that verse is true. Some of us can testify to that. The first part of that verse is true. Good understanding giveth favor. So the understanding, when you read through the Bible, you'll see wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You see those three together a lot. Understanding is similar to wisdom, but it's different in this. You have to live it, and you have to work with it. I'm talking about with understanding. You've got to live it and work with it and do it and grow in it. Understanding comes from time applying wisdom. In other words, I can sit right here and have a lot of wisdom and do nothing with it, and it will not have any effect in my life. But if I follow wisdom as it leads me through life, then I'm going to have understanding, because I can say to you, I've been through that. I did that. I've lived that. I've grown in that. A person, for instance, you here, because you hear the testimonies of other saints when they're making prayer requests, you have the wisdom to know from the Bible and from the testimonies that suffering accompanies fellowship with God. You know that by wisdom. But until you have lived the suffering in fellowship with God, you don't really understand it. But when you've gone through it, you say, yeah, you know, you could tell somebody else, man, I just blah, blah, blah. And they're like, you know, I understand exactly where you're coming from. I've been there. And so that's understanding. And understanding, when you have it, brings you into good favor with God. You know, I think what happens a lot of times is that people fall short of the understanding because when they face what they're going to have to go through to learn it, they recoil from it. I didn't sign up for suffering. Did anybody? Do you sign up for suffering? Or whatever it is you're going to have. No, these lessons are hard learned sometimes. Like, whoa, I didn't know that was going to accompany this, and they recoil from it. It's particularly difficult for young people. I'm looking around here. We got young people all over the building. Wisdom comes at a price. Understanding comes at a price. And it's so easy to bail on God and say, you know what? I don't care whether I have favor with you or not. I am tired of this. I don't even want to experience this. I just want to go and live my life. And you miss out so much until you get to the other side. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27. Here's another way to find favor with God. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Same kind of deal as wisdom. You know, it's there for you, but you got to be looking for it. You got to be diligent seeking good. Today's society is not diligent about seeking good. You never notice that? This society in which we live, and it's true of human nature, so it's been going on for all the history of man, seeks pleasure and seeks mischief. And you can tell that just by looking at the things that they watch and looking at the things they hear and looking at the things they say. I mean, Hollywood, you understand Hollywood's in the business to make money. The television industry is in the business to make money. They look for the ratings to whether or not a show is going to stay on the air. Well, if that's a gauge of what's popular, then you got to know that good is not popular. You know that. So what we want to do as Christians is we want to seek good. God is good. His judgments are good. His ways are good. His words are good. His provisions are good. His people are good. In the qualifications for a pastor or a deacon, he's to be a lover of good men. You say, well, I didn't think anybody was good but God. Yeah, well, you get saved, that changes. Because you've got God's goodness in you. And so that's what we look for of God. And when you seek good, the Bible says you find favor with God. Now, this world is wicked. This world is dark. This world is under the control of the devil. I was given an illustration earlier today when we did a lesson. The world is spinning like this. If this is the way the world is spinning like this. And when you get saved and you start following the leadership of the Spirit of God and you start seeking good things, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, you're going to find yourself going contrary to the world. And there's going to be friction. Because the world's going this way and you are going with God, and that's going to cause trouble. When you're in high school and you get saved, you start living for the Lord, you know what everybody says to you? Goody, goody, two shoes. Jesus freak or whatever. They're trying to get you to turn and go in the direction of the world, which is not good. When you start going in that direction, there's friction. The world doesn't like you. But you know what? God, I say, looks down from heaven. We know He's with us, but it always makes kind of a neat illustration to say God looks down from heaven and says, attaboy, attagirl, good job. I'm pleased with that. You didn't go with the direction of the world. You chose to go for something that was good. And God says that's favorable. One more, Proverbs chapter 18. For those of you who may not yet be married and like to be married one of these days, Proverbs 18:22. Another thing whereby you find favor with God is this. Proverbs 18:20. Whoso findeth, have you noticed You're seeking good. You're finding wisdom. You're finding a wife. You see that stuff? It's not just laying out there. You got to hunt around for a while. All right, so whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, this is true when you find the wife of Proverbs 19:14. It's over in the next proverb right next there. You're going to find favor with the Lord when you find a wife. You found a good thing. Women, don't think of yourselves too highly. You're just a thing. Don't worry, you're in company with Jesus Christ. The angel said to Mary, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So you're in good company there, but you're just a thing. You know, if you tell your husband, you just treat me like a thing. Say, well, that's the way the Bible told me I was supposed to treat you. You're a good thing. You're a good thing. Proverbs 19:14 says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's the one you're looking for. The prudent wife. Because that's the one that's from the Lord. You find that one, you found a good thing, and you've obtained favor of the Lord. Now, don't wait until you're married to find out if she's prudent. He said, find a good thing. Well, you want to know that before you get married. You don't want to get married and then I need to find out whether you're prudent or not. That's the wrong time. Finding the right wife indicates that you've been careful in your pursuit and choice in this matter. That's the key. When you get the right one, then God says, attaboy. That's good. That's the one I want you to have. I wanted you to have a prudent one. You found a prudent one, and I'm pleased with that. Because there are many men today that can, you know, there's a lot of other things in this Proverbs here about being married to the wrong woman. He says it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop or out in the wilderness. She's like a continual dropping. That's the Chinese torture right there, man. So there are a lot of ways you can go wrong here. Okay? And he says, but if you get a good one, you get a prudent wife that's from me, then you've got favor with me. Just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. I repeated to the men when we were talking in Bible study, I think I'll say it to you as well. When I was over there in Ukraine, I was talking to David Lohman. He's now 29. He's married to Naomi, the Demopolis' oldest daughter. And I said to him, you know, tell me about this. You waited till you're 27 years old to get married. Tell me about this. Why'd you wait? And he said, well, it was very interesting. When I was younger, I was just like any other teen in church. You know, I ran with this crowd and so forth. And I knew I wasn't kind of doing everything right, but that's the way it is a lot of times when you're younger. And said, the Lord came to me, I mean, in so many words, impressed upon me the way that he did upon Peter. And he said, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, when he said that to Peter, he didn't really say what these were. Lovest thou me more than these? And I had to make a choice because I realized I was loving the fellowship with these guys more than I was loving the Lord. And I said, okay, so he backed off of that. And then, you know, you pursue this thing. And then the Lord came back again and said, lovest thou me more than these? And I realized that I was loving whatever it was more than the Lord. And he said, did you notice when the Lord asked Peter that, do you love me the third time? Lovest thou me the third time? Peter was grieved that he asked him three times. He said, and it was a grief to me that every time I was drifting away from the Lord, he'd come at me. He said, it was like a cattle prod, you know, and to get me back in line. And he said, that was getting to be a grief to me. So I figured the best thing for me to do is just start loving the Lord. So I started loving the Lord more than these, and this is how it turned out. And he ended up with a prudent wife from the Lord, and I believe has found favor with the Lord. He found him a good thing. But you know what that means? That means you dedicate your time during those young years where your love is easy to the Lord, and let him guide you through that process till he gets you to the prudent wife, or makes you the prudent wife if you're the woman. And therein is favor with the Lord. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Anyway, favor with God is more important than the pursuit of many things that we pursue in this earth, like favor with men or the pursuit of wealth or fame or ambition or any of those other things. But favor with God is not on your terms. You know, we think, well, I'm doing this, God, be favorable with this. No, favor with God is on God's terms, and you've seen the terms tonight. These are the ways to obtain favor with God. So pursue these, and you'll have confidence when you lay your head down on your pillow at night. God's pleased with what you're doing. Father, thank you tonight for some instruction from the Word of God. Help us all to remember what we're hearing here and know how to apply it in our lives by your Holy Spirit. So the area of weakness in our lives that needs attention, we will do. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.